That pretty well says it all, doesn't it? Thank God we're going to see him someday. What a day that's going to be. You know, it's human nature, because we are sinners by nature, that we are not satisfied. That's just sort of part of it, that we just don't seem to be satisfied. Sometimes we question God's blessings, don't recognize them. Sometimes we question God's providence in our lives, what God is doing, what's going on. Even sometimes we question his promises. We're not satisfied with what he's told us in his word. And I want to speak today on a subject that probably affects most all of us, and that is the tendency for us to murmur and to not be satisfied with our lot in life, even as born-again believers. You know, murmuring is something, being dissatisfied and vocalizing that, and if not vocalizing it, doing it in our practices, our attitude, that's something that God is not pleased with. So I invite you to take your Bibles now, and I hope you have your Bible with you, and turn to Numbers chapter 11, and we'll read 6 verses today as our text verses. Numbers chapter 11. A lot of mischief began with murmurers as Israel was headed to the land of Canaan. And we see this with those that are God's children, and also a group called the mixed multitudes. Literally, in the original language, when it's talking about mixed, it's talking about rabble or riffraff, the mixed multitudes. Probably some who are not saved, some who we don't really know why they went along, maybe just to get out of slavery, maybe just to get out of Egypt. They were tired of the whole thing. But you had mixed multitudes, and that creates a problem too. It is the story of, in our language today, of unconverted church members as well as unspiritual church members, unconverted people that may not even be church members, and also unspiritual people. Beginning with verse 1, going back here, and an occasion in the Old Testament, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. How many of you believe God hears everything? Say amen. What a mighty God we have. If you really believe that, you really have faith, don't you? God does. But it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Yes, God can get angry, though he's love. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Probably some type of lightning strike, some believe. But anyway, it was a fire the Lord sent down and consumed them, killed them. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah. That is, a burning is what that literally means. Because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Sounds like an Atkins diet. Doesn't interest me much at all, or some kind of diet. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." They were complaining. One time, 3 days after they got from the Red Sea, they started complaining about no water, and God had to teach them a lesson. And now, 3 days after this occasion, they are complaining to God as they move out and as they're moving along that they're not satisfied with what's going on. Here's something we need to remember, that a dissatisfied spirit causes a displeasure. A dissatisfied spirit, murmuring spirit, an unsatisfied spirit causes displeasure. We know that from our own experiences. Most of you parents have at some times in your life given you your children something that you really expected them to appreciate and to be thankful for, only to find out that they began to complain and gripe about what they didn't have and didn't appreciate what you had already given them, what they already had. And the result of that attitude caused displeasure in your life, and it hurt, and you wonder, why don't they understand and why don't they appreciate what I'm giving them? An unappreciative spirit. That always hurts, doesn't it? It hurts any time you do something for people and they don't appreciate it. And they murmur and complain about those things. And those people that we help, I've discovered this in the ministry, that the people sometimes you do the very most for are the people who will turn around and do the most griping and most murmuring and be very unappreciative of what has been done for them by the pastor or by the whole church on different occasions. It has happened. I've been in it 46 years, and I cannot tell you how many times it has happened. So many times. And I'm telling you, you never get used to it. It always hurts. It's always a displeasure on the part of those that do that and that have had that done to them. And we grow very weary with that kind of attitude, with those kind of people. And so God does the very same thing. To have an attitude to God, toward God, that is an attitude of complaining and not appreciating what we have and murmuring about life and our position in life, our state in life, when we're murmuring against God, that's even worse than murmuring against someone else. That's even worse than somebody in your family that would murmur against you. The truth of the matter today is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't deserve anything. You say, oh, but I do. No, you really don't. You say, preacher, if God just give me what I deserve, you don't want what you deserve. What do we deserve? To be lost? To die without Jesus? To go to hell, to be separated from God forever and ever. If you get what you deserve, and I get what I deserve, that's all we deserve, is to die without Christ and go to hell. Now, Psalm 103:10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Would anybody say amen to that? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God we have not, if we're saved, received what we have deserved. I'm glad I hadn't received what I deserved, because I would have been rewarded according to my iniquities and according to my sin. Murmuring sometimes can lead to other things that are not good. It can lead to cursing, or an attitude that would be similar to that of disbelief, or an attitude that would be similar to blaspheming God or complaining about all of that. In Judges 17, you don't need to turn there now, but in verse 2, the Bible is talking about Micah's mother. And Micah's mother, Micah had taken, he was not a very good prophet, but he had taken 1,100 shekels from his mother to make images out of. And she was so upset about those shekels missing that she began to curse about it. Well, if we're not careful, we may not curse, but we'll have an attitude that's very similar. One that complains, one that murmurs, one that does not appreciate what God has done for us. I can tell you today that complaining is music to Satan. He likes it. Now, all of us have certain kinds of music we like. I like church music. And if I'm going to listen to music, 90% of mine is going to be, I might listen to a little elevator music once in a while, but not too often. But I like church music. I like good quartet music. I like all kinds of church music. But and we have a great variety of it here, because I believe God is a God of variety. If not, we'd all have red roses all the time. But God is a God of variety. But I'm going to tell you the thing that the devil likes to hear, music. Play it some more. I want to hear more of it. Turn it up. Is complaining and murmuring and questioning God. It's the devil's music. He likes it. And fretting is a sin in the life of the believer. It's sort of like cursing or swearing, as I said earlier. Fretting about everything. Complaining about everything. And sometimes if we do that, the Lord may give us what we want, what we're saying. Reminds me of my mother used to say to me when I'd be complaining and bellyaching about some things and maybe even snubbing a little bit and crying a little bit, younger days, and she'd say, "Straighten up before I give you something to cry about." Thinking, well, man, think about that a little bit. You straighten up, quit your murmuring, quit your whimpering and doing all that stuff. If you don't, I'll give you something to cry about. And I have to confess, sometimes she did. It was my sister's fault, but she did it. But at any rate, murmuring can become something that causes a rod to come into our lives because we get a complaining, negative spirit about some things. And then the dissatisfied people feel that they will find pleasure in things that they're denied. We think, if I just had that, I'd be happy. If I just had that, I'd be happy. If I just had that house, I'd be happy. If I just had that swimming pool, I'd be happy. If I just had that car, I'd be happy. If I just had so-and-so, I'd really be happy. And so we are dissatisfied, and we feel like that it's those things that we're denied that will cause us to be happy. Now, Israel had manna. God had been taking care of them. They'd come a ways, and God gave them manna. And there was enough manna for them every day. And they gathered it together 6 days a week. They didn't gather it on the Sabbath. They took twice as much the day before, and God kept that principle intact. But they had enough food, they had enough that God supplied. The manna looked like a coriander seed. A coriander seed looked sort of like a little nut with a shell on it. And they would take that coriander seed and they would mash it up like they do some of that stuff over in Africa that we enjoyed eating. And they mash it up and they would cook bread with it and things of that nature. Or they would have some other way that they would serve it. They would pulverize it and do that. Coriander was like coriander seed, like that. And so these people wanted more. What did they want? Well, you remember what they were complaining about and what they said when they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were saying, "I'm not satisfied with my Christian life. I sort of want to go back to the world. And I want to eat cucumbers." Hey, I had cucumbers in Egypt. I had melons in Egypt. I had all of this stuff, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. I'm not satisfied with this manna. We've had it every day, three times a day. Manna, 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 manna. But God said, "That's my provision for you, and that's the way I'm going to keep you alive." And so they complain about that. It's sad when we would rather have the worldly food than the holy food from God. It is sad when we'd rather have what the world offers us than what God offers us. And God offers us what He wants us to have, and He offers what is needed for us. And so many people, even among our Christians today, I'm afraid, want to go back into the world. They want the world to come into the church. We don't need the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks of the world, folks. Too many of our churches have become theaters. Too many of our sanctuaries have been transformed into theaters. And our services have been turned into performances in our country. It's happening all around us. And we've come to the place we'd like to be entertained in our churches. All of this, we want to go back to a little bit of the world, hear a little bit of their music, bring it into the church. I don't think God is pleased with that. Thank you for two amens anyway. I don't think God is pleased with that, but I believe that many times we try to have this attitude to bring that back into the church. And God says we don't need it. We need His pure word. We need worship the way He has taught worship ought to be had. We don't need an entertainment center. We need the preaching of the Word of God so we can get back to the things of God, back to the basics that are taught in the Word of God. And I believe that this attitude is an injurious attitude. And I think because of it, it keeps us, prevents us from appreciating what we have. How many church members are looking for something else out there? You've got it. You have the singing, you have the preaching, you have the Word of God, you have a fundamental church that does the best it can to do what God says to do. And if we're not careful, that will prevent us from enjoying what God has already given us in every area of our life. Haman, the Bible talks about that in Esther chapter 5, and Haman had all kinds of stuff. He was elevated in the kingdom, and he really was prosperous and had a nice family and all of those things. But there's one thing, just one thing, that always bothered him, and that is that Mordecai wouldn't treat him right and bow down before him and treat him like he was a king. And that so bothered him that he began to scheme and sin and plan things contrary to God and God's will and Mordecai. And he thought he was going to have Mordecai killed, and the whole thing backfired on him. And as a result, Haman was hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. He just wasn't satisfied with what he had. Now, sometimes when we are dissatisfied, we get slanderous toward God. We complain to God. And that can lead us into rebellion, and that can also lead us into falsehood. It can lead us into a sin called envy. It can lead us into all manner of sin if we're not careful when we begin to complain or murmur. History says that Caesar had a great feast one time outside. And wouldn't you know it, like some of our Baptist gatherings, it started raining. Raining hard. And Caesar got so angry and so mad, he called his bowmen in with their arrows, and he said, I want you to shoot those arrows toward Jupiter, which to him was a god. And so they reared back and shot their arrows straight up in the air, and guess what happened to them? They came right back down on them. And when we complain to God and shoot our arrows of murmuring and dissatisfaction and complaining to God, my friend, they will come back down on us. And we're talking about the true and living God. Arrows of criticism always fall short of heaven and the will of God. Also, a dissatisfied spirit, a dissatisfied person, shows that the mind needs to be changed. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be changed. Our attitude needs to be changed. And it is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that puts those things in order in our lives, and then that will keep our affections as they should be. And we'll have the right kind of love for the right kind of things, which will eliminate the confusion and the complaining that we have in our life. When our affections are right, then number one, we will be content. When your love is right, when your affections are right, when you've got that right in your heart before Almighty God, you will be content. How do you know? Hebrews 13:5. Listen to it. He says that our conversation should be without covetousness. Our conversation should be without those things. And we should be content with such things as you have. Doesn't mean you can't try to improve yourself, but while you're headed there, be content with what you have. And why should we feel that way? Because he answers that question. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So whatever your lot in life is today, you ought to be content if you're saved, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good? God will never leave you nor forsake you. And if that does not bring contentment, what in the world would bring contentment? I don't know of anything. When our affections are right, we'll be content. Also, we will learn to be moderate in our desires. We have all kinds of desires. We'll learn to be moderate. Proverbs chapter 30 and that 8th verse, the Lord said, the proverb said to the speaker, the Lord speaking, give me neither poverty nor riches. That's a pretty good philosophy to have, isn't it? I don't have to have riches to be happy. I don't necessarily want poverty. I don't know that poverty makes a lot of people happy. But he is saying, give me neither poverty nor riches. Lord, help me to be content with what I have. It'll also, we will be fully resigned to the will of God for our lives. Fully resigned to God's will for my life and for your life. He said in Matthew 26, 39, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, not as I will, but it's whatever you want. It's not always what I want or what I'm going to get, but it's what you want. Thy will be done is a good part of the prayer and something we should pray. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Fully resigned to the will of God. Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purposes. All things are not good, but all things work together for good. And whatever's going on in my life, in your life today, whether we understand it or not, Romans 8, 28 is still true. And God knows what he's doing. And then we'll be eagerly desiring the Lord like we should. You see, our focus is wrong. Our affection is wrong. Our focus and our affection today as believers, and we heard about that Wednesday night, we heard about that last Sunday night, our relationship of intimacy should be first and foremost with God Almighty. With God. That's where our desire should be. The psalmist said in 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God. My soul thirsteth for God. He said in another place, like a hart or deer thirsteth for the water brook, so my soul thirsteth for you. Could you say today in this building as a believer that the greatest desire and thirst of your soul is to serve God and please God and to focus on God and the things of God? Serving him any way that he has asked us to do it, doing what he's told us to do. And then if we have our affections right, we're going to desire and pray for the best gifts. We're going to desire and covet the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. He said, whether there's prophecy, it's going to go away. Whether there are tongues, they're going to quit immediately and abruptly, and they were needed in the early church. They're not needed now. They're totally inferior. Read the Bible and you'll discover that tongues, which really was languages, not some gibber-jabberish, it was intelligent languages. And when the word unknown is in your Bible, you'll see that's italicized because they added that. Well, he said, whether there be prophecies, they're going to cease. Won't need them anymore. And whether there be tongues, they'll cease abruptly. Knowledge as we would know it, and all of that accumulation, all of this would cease. But he says there's one gift that will never cease, one that you want to keep all the time, and that is love or charity. Love. And that's what we find in 1 John, the first four chapters, really, where he's talking about one of the greatest proofs that we have in our life that we are focusing on the right thing is that we love one another. The greatest of these is what? Love. So if we have love and we have the right attitude and we have in our hearts and our minds a focus on Almighty God the way we should have, like the Bible says, then God's going to put these affections in our lives, and they're going to be the right kind of affections. And they're going to have an impact on us because we're focusing on our love for God and serving God. So what am I saying today to all of us? That is simply this. We ought to be satisfied and thankful to God for all of His blessings today. And most of all, if you're saved, you ought to be thankful that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it will never be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing can remove it out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And thank God it'll never be blotted out if you're saved. We ought to be happy and thankful, and we should not be complainers. The old songwriter said, "I'll be satisfied as long as I can walk. Let me walk close to Thee." That's where our desire ought to be. Not in material things and all of these pleasurable things that are down here that we think are going to bring us pleasure, which may for a little while, but then that dissipates too. The smell of a new car goes away pretty quick about the time the first payment comes. But we ought to be thankful. You see, murmuring shows we have a lack of faith in God. Complaining shows we don't trust God. We really don't believe God for what He's doing. And I can tell you another thing, it hinders your testimony. If you're negative and a complainer and murmur and never seem to be happy and pleased, then others who know you will say, "I thought Christianity was supposed to have a positive aspect to it. I thought Christianity was supposed to make you happy and satisfied." We tell them that, don't we? Then we ought to live it out and act like it so that they can see that. May God help us to be thankful today for what we have through Christ. And may I say to you that aren't saved, if you aren't saved, you ought to be thankful today that God will save you and that you're still alive and that you're still breathing and that God loves you. And be thankful that you have a chance today, an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. And then when you do that, you can have all of these other things that has been mentioned in this message today. Are you thankful today? You can be if you get saved. And thank God anybody, anywhere, anytime can come to Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and help us to be thankful people, giving thanks in all things, as You've said. To be careful in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known unto You, so that the peace of God which passes understanding will keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. I pray for that person here who isn't saved, that today they would realize they have an opportunity to be saved one more time. They'd be thankful for this opportunity, and that they would take the opportunity and be saved, be born again. Those of us who are believers, Lord, help us to have a good testimony as we are happy Christians serving the Lord, putting You first, having all of our affection and desires centered around the person of Jesus Christ and pleasing Him in all things in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.